Let's take a look at the nation's job picture.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There's a report out this hour that says the number of planned layoffs dropped last month to the lowest level of the year. About 36,000 job cuts were announced. That's according to the job placement company Challenger Gray and Christmas, and it offers economists an early look at the nation's job picture as we wait for Friday's big monthly employment report from the Labor Department. Let's dig into this morning's report and find out what it says about the overall job market with John Challenger. He's the CEO of Challenger Gray and Christmas, and he's with us live now from Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, what does that number, 36,000 layoff announcements, tell you about the nation's job situation?
It's a positive sign. Companies just are not cutting many people. The reasons now seem to be more benign. Mergers and acquisitions, maybe a company that just really is faring poorly against its competitors, and then government. And that really right now is the core area of the economy that's experiencing deep job problems.
And do you think that this is a good enough sign to convince you that the economy is not stalling?
It's certainly one leg in that picture. We need the job creation. We've seen that now for two consecutive months, over 200,000. So you know if you're in a job, you're pretty safe. It's been tough if you've been unemployed to get back to work, but the picture does seem to be changing. This Friday's report will be very important to see if that strong job creation is sustained.
And finally, I noticed that your report finds the biggest places for layoffs, at least layoff announcements, are California, D.C., and New Jersey for the first part of this year. What does that tell you?
Those are harbingers of things to come. Think about all those areas. California has deep deficits. The government's cutting. Federal government in Washington has seen spending drop almost 8% in the latest GDP report, and that portends more cuts. New Jersey also is under an austerity campaign. We're going to see this on a continuing basis going forward.
John Challenger, CEO of Challenger Gray and Christmas, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, the Army Corps of Engineers says more levees along the rising Mississippi River may need to be destroyed in order to divert water to farmland so it doesn't flood cities. Earlier this week, the Corps blew a hole in a Missouri levee to save Cairo, Illinois, from flooding, and the soggy spring in the Midwest could soon impact the price of corn, as our sustainability reporter Sarah Gardner explains.
Spring rains and floods have left much of the nation's cornfields a soggy mess. Farmers in the Midwest are worried they'll miss the traditional deadline for getting their seeds in the ground and wind up with a measly harvest.
There's kind of a magic deadline in the Midwest for optimal planting time, and it's about May 10th.
That's analyst Jason Ward at North Star Commodity in Minneapolis. He says if cornfields in key states like Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa don't dry out this week, it won't just be a problem for farmers. Corn supplies are the tightest on record, and consumers would feel the pinch too.
They would see higher milk prices, they would see higher beef prices, higher pork prices, and ultimately higher chicken prices.
If warm, sunny weather doesn't settle in soon, some Corn Belt farmers may switch over to soybeans, which can still be planted in June. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down right now across Europe and Asia, more than 1% lower in Hong Kong. The country's largest cable company, Comcast, which now owns NBC Universal, made almost $1 billion last quarter. Comcast says it lost 39,000 video subscribers, but it added almost 500,000 internet customers. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow finished exactly where it started, 12,807.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
Just west of Minneapolis, where I-494 meets Highway 169, they are taking down the stoplights and putting in a roundabout. It's just the latest example of a growing trend in suburbs around the country where the goal is to cut down on traffic congestion as well as accidents. And as Tony Arnold reports now from Chicago Public Radio, one village in Illinois is hoping a new roundabout will serve as the cornerstone for new commercial development.
When you hear the word roundabout, you might think of a huge multi-lane traffic circle, the kind Chevy Chase gets stuck in National Lampoon's European Vacation.
It's amazing. I cannot get left. It's Big Ben Kids Parliament.
But the recipe for a typical roundabout these days is a little different. Take an average four-way intersection. Insert four yield signs, add a round patch of grass in the middle, and voila. Over the last 20 years, about 2,500 roundabouts have cropped up around the U.S.
I'm Amy Connolly, planning director for the Village of Tinley Park.
Connolly's been given the task of developing Tinley Park for the foreseeable future, and part of that future includes a new roundabout funded by a $2 million grant. It's planned for an intersection meant to connect drivers from the nearby highway to the downtown area. Connolly says it'll help clear the traffic jams that clog the intersection now, and she says it will allow construction of a new commercial development without adding extra congestion. It's also intended to make the area more pedestrian-friendly.
We sort of drive on autopilot these days, but things like roundabouts really force you to sort of slow down and think about what you're doing, and that makes for a safer intersection.
On a recent afternoon, Connolly drives me to South Holland, two towns over. There we find a model for the Tinley Park roundabout. She says municipalities like roundabouts because they cut down on the electricity costs of running stoplights, and insurance groups show there are fewer serious accidents. But the real trick could be getting local residents on board. Dave Burke lives by the South Holland roundabout and is unimpressed.
It doesn't slow the traffic down. Nobody knows how to use it.
Not unlike Chevy Chase, who needs a whole day to finally figure out that traffic circle in London. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
And finally, to gas prices. If you think $4 a gallon is bad, what about $6 a gallon? That is now the most expensive gas in the nation. In the small town of Hana on the Hawaiian island of Maui, a gallon of regular unleaded gas there will run you $6.03. On the flip side, the average temperature in Hana is 79.9 degrees. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Many would love to see organic farming become the way of the future, but for all the upsides, if it happened, there could be downsides as well.
If you ask me point blank whether organic or organic-based farming is better than conventional, my answer is no.
I'm Tess Vigeland, Organic Farming and Global Food Demand, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.